And, AJ and the Unborn Child say the M25 has never looked so beautiful as it does with Scritopolity on the radio.
Wow.
That's nice, that, isn't
That's
it?
That's very nice. Thank you very much.
You live in London. Have you got a hosepipe ban and a water shortage?
I haven't been into my garden yet this year.
Have you not?
The weeds are... to my knees.
It's a wild sort of...
I'm letting it do its thing.
Because it does seem bizarre. We keep going on about this water, and I know it's a sort of grumpy old man territory, but apparently my desalinator... Because I understand... You see, I couldn't understand. It seems bizarre, doesn't it? That we live on a small island full of overflowing rivers, lakes, all kinds of things, near the sea, you know, and when we've no water. Whereas in, like, Las Vegas...
I had a taxi driver the other day of exactly the same opinion as yourself.
Yeah, that doesn't make me feel good, really. Am I like a whinging cabbie?
Yeah.
But listen to this. This is from Cullen Henshaw in Brentford. He says, your desalination idea is, in fact, rubbish. Thames Water is proposing a desalination plant by the Thames. Ken Livingstone isn't happy. Is he like Ken Livingstone? Is he doing...
Do I like him?
Is it a good job for you? He's a nuke man, isn't he?
I'm looking around the room. I'm not getting very many smiles about Ken at the moment. One of us has got a thumb aloft.
But anyway, listen, vicious circle coming up. Global warming is causing climate change. Climate change is affecting the rainfall and therefore water supplies. So, build desalination plants to produce drinking water, but desalination plants belch out carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide increases global warming.
Yeah.
See? This is all Cullen Henshaw. This says, mind you, if we keep running out of water, just build yet more desalination plants, world hots up, polar ice caps melt, and so long as we keep building desalination plants fast enough, we'll have loads of water to drink and the sea levels won't actually rise.
He's thought it through.
He says, here's another idea. They could just fix the leaks in the pipes.
Well, that's what someone said on the radio this morning. And it's like thousands of gallons a second get lost under the streets of London, I think.
I think the figure we had last night was that two Lake Windermere's a day. That can't be right. Is that right? They say it's
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
You know. Okay. Enough on the water. We'll just have a quick advert for this, and then we'll be back with Green Outside and Scritopolity.
This weekend, BBC Radio 2 presents a very special live concert. Everything. He sold 40 million albums in America, and it seems at last that we are to switch on to the music of Dave Matthews. Maybe different, but remember. We recorded a lovely concert with him. He takes questions from the audience. He's absolutely brilliant, witty, creative, and bright. We used to laugh under the covers. Maybe not. So join me, Bob Harris, for a remarkable evening of intimacy with one of America's biggest stars. This Saturday from 10 o'clock on 88 to 91 FM, BBC Radio 2.
Yes. Green is here, Scritopolity, new album, White Bread, Black Bear. It's not out just yet, is it? A couple of weeks,
I think, yeah.
Okay. We were talking about the early days, and say when you were squatters in Camden. And, then there was a big kind of leap to being glossy, American, heavily produced pop stars.
Yeah, you know, I got tired of the indie thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, when... it kind of got institutionalized very quickly, I think. Suddenly there was, you know, there were shops that were part of a network selling indie stuff, and there was an indie market and an indie sound and an indie look. Mm. And I thought, bleep this.
Right.
This was not anything I'd ever wanted to be. You know, the whole post-punk thing just kind of settled into another genre.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very interesting to keep doing it, and it wasn't very challenging to keep doing it.
Yeah.
You can only pretend to play badly.
Yeah.
For so long. I mean, no, we didn't pretend to play badly to begin with, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're bound to get a little bit better and you want to do other things. And so I thought it was a kind of radical gesture to leave that all behind and go to America and try and make kind of R&B pop. And I had no idea how to do it.
Did you have a record deal? I mean, what do you do? Just sort of pack a bag and get on a plane and get off in New York and...
Pretty much. I had to persuade a major record label to part with an indecent amount of money first.
That helps, doesn't
it?
Yeah.
Which then I went and gave to the right people in New York, and
did you know these people before you went?
No,
I
haven't got a clue.
Right.
And it was scary, you know, but it needed doing.
Yeah.
From my point of view, at least.
Yeah, no, and you created this, like, you know, fantastically polished sound, didn't you? All those kind of, the Cuban Cycle and the Woodbees and all that and everything, which is still sort of, like, regarded as an influence by very hit producers, Timbaland and all these kind of people.
Apparently so.
Mention those records, don't they?
Apparently so, yeah. I mean, it took a lot of time and it took a lot of money, and it took people with, Great skills.
Yeah.
You know, I was just one of, like, the American Squishy was a trio of me and a guy called David Gampson and Fred Marr. And, yeah, it was kind of, it was an interesting project.
Yeah.
But then it, I kind of, we felt like we had some sort of ironic distance from the whole pop thing, but, that evaporates as soon as the machine starts whirring, you know what I mean? I'm ending up on American Bandstand with Dick Clark.
Right.
And, I think that was the day I realised that any, you know, ironic distance had completely evaporated.
Yeah.
And I wasn't playing them at any kind of game. I was just, you know, part of the whole thing. And it was kind of horrible, really.
Well, you said it's kind of hot, and it should have been kind of glorious, wasn't it? Because here you are making these glossy records. But you were still unsettled. You were still unhappy at being Green Guardside, the Pops. People were saying you were very beautiful and saying you looked like Princess Diana, which you did a bit in certain photographs.
Yeah, she was lucky enough to look a bit like me.
I mean, and who knows? If she were alive today, perhaps she'd have grown a goatee.
Yeah.
Like you.
Wouldn't, yeah.
You know, we'll never know.
Sadly not.
But, I mean, you were a kind of, you know, point, but you couldn't, there was something that you couldn't enjoy it.
Hated it.
Was it right you were sort of living in a motel out of New York and just going on sort of chat show hell around the country?
Yeah, I did quite a lot of that. I went around the world doing chat show hell because I wasn't, I wouldn't play live.
Yeah.
So the record company would say, well, if you won't play live, you must go and see these 50 TV stations and Good Morning Cincinnati and sit on a sofa with people you don't know who've got no interest in you whatsoever.
Wouldn't it have been easier to play live?
It would have been in retrospect.
I mean, it's a difficult sound to reproduce.
It would have been difficult. Now it's probably technically feasible, but
yeah.
But then, no. So I hated all that until I gave it all up.
Yeah, and right, well, we'll leave it there.
Okay.
And we'll come back to the rest of the story and pick it up.
All right.
We're having tracks from the new album, and what are you going to do for us next?
A song called Robin Hood.
Right.
And, that's not quite in tune, but it'll do.
Do you want to tune it?
No.
No, okay, good.
I'm feeling confident tonight.
Excellent, right. Stop it! It sounds great!
That's Robin Hood. Thank you very much.
We're giving away copies of the... Have you got a question yet? We need to think of a... We'll do it before the next tune,
okay.
Shall we?
Yeah.
All right, then. All right. One more song to come, although, you know, I could have dozens of these, you know. bum notes or not. We can do that. Anyway, we will definitely have one more tune from Scrutability and Chance to Win copies of this album in about, 10 minutes or something. This is Midlake from Texas. Thereafter, we'll get back to the crucial...